Hey, are we live yet? Are we live yet? Testing. 1, 2, 3. Welcome to Gnostic Media Research and Publishing's online podcast with your host, Jan Irvin. Here we investigate the religious, the mysterious, the entheogenic, the shamanic, and the Gnostic with the small g. If you haven't heard it someplace else, you'll likely hear it here. So sit back and relax. Take a trip through time and a journey through your mind as we investigate the ancient mysteries.
Welcome to Gnostic Media Research and Publishing's podcast number 17. I'm your host, Jan Irvin. What if everything you were ever told by the government and doctors about marijuana was a lie? What if, instead of marijuana causing cancer or brain damage, it actually cured it and generated new cells? What if our government had knowledge of this since the 1970s, but intentionally suppressed it and kept cannabis outlawed anyway? Today I play two interviews, one with the father of the hemp movement, Jack Herer, who is the author of the famed best-selling book, The Emperor Wears No Clothes, Hemp and the Conspiracy Against Marijuana. See jackherer.com. Jack has, for over 30 years, been teaching the world about industrial hemp and medical marijuana and offers $100,000 to prove him wrong. He's been fully or partially responsible for the return of industrial hemp to over 50 nations. If you know the word hemp, you likely learned it either directly or indirectly from Jack. Jack has also studied the history of mushrooms in Judeo-Christianity for more than 25 years, so we'll be discussing his work on mushrooms and Christianity and his upcoming book, The Most High. Jack suffered a stroke back in 2000 and was expected to never walk or talk again. But through the use of copious amounts of cannabis, as well as the use of both Amanita and psilocybe mushrooms, he not only speaks today, but is also able to walk and drive. I interviewed Jack at his home 2 weeks ago in Northern California, and no interview can happen there without smoking some cannabis. So please excuse the occasional coughs. And I did edit most of them out, but not all were possible. So, anyway, I also interview Canada's Rick Simpson, who runs Phoenix Tears and was involved in the creation of an amazing documentary film called Run from the Cure. Rick has made an amazing discovery based on an old and new research that was mostly suppressed back in the 1970s. But in the back of Rick's mind, he remembered a radio host discussing the fact that THC shrinks tumor cells from a show 30 years prior. Recalling this information, Rick set out to test cannabis bud essential oil extracts, what he calls hemp oil, on his own skin cancer. And to his amazement, less than a week later, the tumors disappeared. Since then, Rick has been teaching people how they can treat and cure their own cancer. But why is this information not headline news? And why is the Canadian government trying to prosecute him for curing people? As we'll find out, millions of jobs and billions of dollars are made from a completely bogus cancer treatment industry where more people are killed than cured. For those who are interested in more information or who are in doubt, on the website for this podcast at www.gnosticmedia.podomatic.com, I've included research and links to nearly 24 clinical studies, and we're talking the real facts here, people, not snake oil cures. Support for this week's podcast. This show was brought to you by Mark, Wilma, Clint, Elizabeth, Hawkworld, who I think that was their second donation, and Ronald. And thanks to you all so very much for your support and contributions. And also thanks to those of you who sent your emails this last week with your suggestions for the show. It's nearly always helpful to receive feedback from the listeners out there, so I thank you guys for those letters. And I also thank those of you who went to the website and ordered a book or a DVD this last week. We really struggle to get by, and every week is always a new challenge. This show is not corporate media, and it is brought to you by people just like you. So if you can, please support the show. And you can go to the Gnostic Media website at www.gnosticmedia.com, and there is a donation button up on the top left. And you can donate any amount you like, from $1 to $1,000 or more. So it's there. You can also give a recurring monthly donation for $5 and up. So if you would like to contribute more than just once, but maybe you can or can't afford a larger sum of money, that's a good way to do it. And let's see, somebody asked why the donations, and the donations go to keep the electricity on, to pay for research, books, and things like that for a lot of the guests that I have on the show, as well as keeping the websites running and the podcast page. I was hit with a $170 bill just this week for internet fees and any other equipment and things that we're always needing, and needing upgrades and things like that, software and stuff like that. So if you can donate and contribute to help support this show, it's greatly appreciated. And if you've been thinking about it recently but haven't yet, I ask that you please do, not only to this show, but as today's guest discusses, many of the organizations like this one here need people just like you. And your support is hugely appreciated. I still have copies of the second color edition of my first book with Andrew Rutaji, Astrotheology and Shamanism. The first 25 of those are going out with a free Pharmacratic Inquisition DVD. The color edition is now officially in print, and it's already on Amazon too. And although I'm not sure if you can buy it quite yet, but it is showing up there in the searches. And I expect to be shipping the first orders of that out this week, at the latest early next week, but those were ordered and should be on their way already. First, let me see. I also have autographed copies of my new book, The Holy Mushroom, available also on the website. And with mention of my new book, The Holy Mushroom, I also received word this week from John Allegra's daughter, Judith Ann Brown, that Allegra's book, The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross, should be seen reprint by the end of March. There have already been 2 years worth of delays, so I'm not going to hold my breath, but this one seems a little more certain than the last few delays, so hopefully the end of March it shall be. And she'll also be on the show soon to discuss the reprinting of that, as well as her own book, John Marco Allegro, The Maverick of the Dead Sea Scrolls. I also hope to be carrying The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross on the Gnostic Media website soon, so I'll announce that as soon as that happens. And next week I'll be playing my interview with former minister Ernest Werner, author of Rod of Jesse, on Jesus and the Gospels and Doubt of His Existence. And if you'd like to know who else will be on the show in the upcoming weeks, please check out the news page on the Gnostic Media website at www.gnosticmedia.com. That's GNOSTICmedia.com. And if you'd like to contact me directly, feel free to send an email to contact@gnosticmedia.com. Stay tuned. This show is a bit of a tearjerker. Go grab a tissue and sit back and enjoy. And when you're done, get active. Thanks.
The Jewish Bible, the Hebrew Bible, it's not one other word with in Hebrew. All that is in Hebrew. Now, Hebrew is not spoken by anyone on the planet, not in Israel, not in Egypt or Turkey or anything. They are only spoken in the temple. Now, when you come outside the temple, you can't speak Hebrew. You can speak Aramaic. You can speak a lot of Greek, but not the one thing is Greece, the Iliad and the
Odyssey
is the only one that is not Greek, because those are just like Hebrew, only spoken in the temple, not in the streets, not in one single. I can speak at that time.
What first led you to think that Jesus was the mushroom?
Well, I read the book by 1983.
You're talking about John Allegro's book.
Yeah, and I just got out of jail. I was recommended the book.
That was when Ronald Reagan put you in jail for the hemp movement?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the first time I was hit is $5 fine. And I went all the way to the Supreme Court. It took 2 years.
For a $5 fine that you refused to pay, because that was when they were arrested you for petitioning after dark on federal property, correct?
On the busiest central property in the land.
Petitioning after dark on federal property is a crime. That's just amazing.
On the busiest street corner in
it was Wilshire and Wilshire Boulevard and
Veteran. And, well, it's Wilshire Boulevard. And
so you were petitioning there.
Yeah, well, about 150 people are complete between Sepulveda,
right,
and Veterans on Wilshire. That was the busiest street corner and the richest people in the world. Almost all the cars are the most likely of them is the Cadillac Eldorado, and from there it went up and up and up from Mercedes Benz, so everything else, because they were all. And I went out.
So you get released from jail and you're reading.
Oh, yeah.
John Allegro's book. So tell me. What made you think, against all of these other scholars out there, that Allegro was correct?
Oh, well, he was correct because I read it in 1783, and if I did it again in 1984 in January. In February of 1984, and nobody knew this information, because he is 100% correct, and I believe him right until the time that and 20 years later, I believe only the Amanita muscaria. I didn't know about the psilocybin until 2003, I think.
2003, you learned about the psilocybin involved in Christianity?
Yeah, because I didn't know there was a mother and a father. It was only the mother. Our father of God is the Amanita muscaria, but the mother of God was the psilocybin. But I didn't know that. You know, and a lot of people. But that is what I learned from Jim.
As far as the. I'll just wait till you're finished.
Okay.
Well, all of this is going to the recording. I don't have a lighter on me.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Why don't you have a lighter?
Well, it's out in the car. Why don't you have a lighter on you? You're the emperor of hemp.
Ooh, that is so much
truth.
Man.
Oh, hit the soft spot. Let me go see if there's one in the other room. Alright, here's a lighter. Here. Well, I've known you, we've been friends for 17 years, and I've probably known you for 20 years.
1991, I think.
92 is when, well, we had met several times before then, but 92 was when we became friends. And in 92, 93, you taught me about your ideas of the mushroom and Christianity and everything, and your ideas of the Song of Solomon and the Book of Jonah.
Yeah, but that is... Now, I got 95% of it correct, but I didn't have 100% of it correct until I did the Amanita Muscaria and the psilocybin. And once you read it, it's completely fucking clear that psilocybin and the is in the Amanita Muscaria.
In my book Astrotheology and Shamanism, we looked up the word midbar that was used as the word wilderness for manna, the manna of the wilderness, and the word midbar is cow pasture. You know, so it's not even a wilderness, it's not a desert, it's a cow pasture, and it says whither cattle are driven. So it's the manna of the cow pasture. And to me, that very clearly says that it's psilocybin mushrooms.
But, and then in Amanita, psilocybin is the Amanita muscaria. The oak trees. What is that type of trees that is?
The birch?
I think it was in the oak trees.
The Quercus is the family.
It's only 2.5 pages long.
It's out. It needs to be relit.
But once you knew it and you got it all, there's no question in anybody's mind that once you read it in the original Hebrew is only spoken at these temples, but you're never going to speak it on the streets.
It would just be like as clear as you and I speaking it to each other in English right now, only it was Hebrew specifically for inside the temple.
Yes, but outside the temple...
And didn't speak
I don't speak it. What the guy's name from... Santa Cruz.
Who are you talking about? Clark Heinrich, maybe?
Yeah. What happened with him?
I don't know if he's still riding in the field much anymore, but he's still around. I hear from him every once in a while. We've emailed back and forth a little bit.
But he didn't believe in the Amanita Muscaria?
No, his whole book is about the Amanita.
But
he wasn't sure if Jesus was the mushroom or not. He said he would think it's quite significant if it happens to be true, but that was his reservation, you know.
And he never got off of that?
He left it at that. He didn't want to go into depth on it.
But I don't understand.
Well, you know, I guess he didn't want to stir controversy.
Why?
Jack, I don't know why.
He's still writing books about the...
I have no idea. He hasn't written, he hasn't published anything since Apples of Apollo with Ruck and Danny Staples that I'm aware of.
Who is, that's the guy from
Boston.
Yeah. What does he say?
He's gone public that Allegra was correct. And he's going to publish a new book in 2009. In fact, he's got...
What is it about?
In Theogens and Christianity.
What is that about?
He talks about Datura and the Amanita and psilocybin and cannabis and a whole bunch of different things. The wines, ergot use, a whole bunch of stuff. We've also, there's mandrake in the Bible and henbane and a whole array of entheogens. So, talk more about your research into the Song of Solomon and Jonah and Revelation.
Well, all you have to do is read book, you know, the 33 pages of Amanita muscaria and
Jonah, Song of Solomon, Revelation.
Both of them.
Okay.
And those are, once you get it, and this is all the way through Revelation in the New Bible, and all the way through Revelation, or in the Old Bible, the Jewish Bible. This is all about Amanita muscaria, all about one after the other, after the other, after the other.
What are you going to do about your own book? How do we get that in print?
I'm going to do it. Right now, when I get off, I'm going to go and put it up. I will see.
Can you please get me an updated copy of it so that I can...
What?
Of the Holy, of the Most High.
Have you the old copy of it?
I've got my copy is 5 years old.
Yeah, but this is...
totally different. I've been asking you for an updated copy for years. You wanted to do the mushroom research more than you wanted to be the emperor of hemp. Is that true?
Well, you know, I knew everything about mushrooms and everything about hemp until about 1 year ago, almost about 9 months ago, 10 months ago. And I found out now I know that Amanita muscaria is okay, but the marijuana,
cannabis.
When you take it in huge doses, not 5% or 10% or 15%, but 300% THC.
What do you mean? Oh, you mean extracted THC?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's 50,000 times better than in any other thing in the world. And it's not, you can't do anything to your body except heal it, 100%. but so much powerful, then, you know, 10% is nothing. It's, you know, can do it 1,000%, and it's good for you by 100,000 times better. And most of the people I explained it to, I said it over and over and over, and they don't get it. I don't even know whether you did get it.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Okay, explain it to me.
When it's concentrated, the more it's concentrated, the greater the benefit to the human body.
But it's concentrated not on
1%. On, you know, the great, like, if you go hundreds or thousands of percent concentrated THC, then you get huge benefit. You know, obviously, THC has been proven to reduce cancer cells and things like that. So
no, it's... Okay. This guy, Rick Simpson.
Yeah.
He is cured 100% of all cancers by... I mean,
cannabis extract.
Cannabis. In 3 days to 5 days, almost all skin cancers, including melanoma,
are
is gone.
In 3 to 5 days. That's amazing.
That's more than amazing.
Yeah.
But...
And,
huh. In 2 weeks to 2 months, and you can say lungs, that 2 months you will be dead. Everybody in the world will tell you, but if you get, you can do it in huge about 2 or 3 times a day, and 2 weeks to 2 months, just completely gone. Not stop. Completely gone. And they're never coming back again. And you're still smoking cigarettes.
Wow.
You know, you can't believe it. This is the one thing the whole world, what I'm trying to do with this is I want to write a book, not a book, I want to go and
like an article or
well in anyway, this is, I believe that this is, you know what you and I know was for many years, we know it. Many of these cannabis. Okay, but now, in the last 10 months, it's 10 times 10 times 10. It's 100.
Because of these new extracts.
No, it's the same extracts, but huge, not 5% or 10%, but 100% THC, because it going down and down and down.
You mean they're just making pure THC with it?
Yes, and 3 days to 2 months, all cures of. One, like my friend, he got 1,100 cases, 300 cases of cancer, and 300 cases of cancer. Now, one case of it. Three cases out of 1,100 are not cured, but on 1,100, they're completely cured.
And that's with this Rick Simpson's.
And I was a leader on that, and I didn't even have an idea of how good it really was, because I didn't know. You know, in 1973, 1974, and 1975, I knew the University of Virginia, not the University of Virginia, Medical College of Virginia in Richmond. Not Charlottesville, Richmond. He was 1,000% right about either monkeys or not monkeys, rats or mice. I can't remember which. But I knew it at the time, and I'm sure I can go back into their studies and get it in 1 hour today. In 1973, 1974, and 1975, these scientists at the University of Virginia, a medical school, not the University of Virginia, but it sounded like that, in Richmond. And then it's 100%. They have, if they get 9 to 18 days, and they will, if you get brain cancer or other cancer, they have 9 to 18 days to live. But if you start feeding them huge doses of THC, they completely cured, and they can live for 7, 8, 9 months. 1 or 2 months after people other things, with no illnesses at all. And once you read it and you go it over and over and over, and not 1 or 2, but 100%. Let's say your kid's got polio or
cancer
or something like that, or MS or something like that, and he cured in 3 days to 2 months, completely cured. And this is against the law in America. In America, and we are doing it in Canada. And it was in 1973, 1974, and 1975, it was the law to do this, and that President Ford saying now, after he took over to Nixon, nobody knew this anymore, and then nobody cared. And the only thing they can come up with at first is Navarone. It's a pipe that they want to go and get it out of THC set. But it will kill you. And then you can do it out of Marinol.
And
it will tell you, because you can't, but don't make it out of, you can make it out of THC, and it will never kill you. In fact, you will live longer.
You mean when it's plant-made and not chemical-made THC?
Yeah.
Not the synthetic Marinol. Is that what you meant?
Yeah. And I don't know, you know, I'm telling you, 6 or 7 months ago, 5 months ago, 4 months ago, yeah, all the people I know, maybe 50 or 100 people knew this in their audiences because, you know, they're THC. They don't know this because even when I spoke to you, and I spoke to you about it 4 months ago or 5 months ago or something like that, it doesn't register in your brain. It's the only way to cure everything. 50% of all medicines will be used to be
made from cannabis.
Cancer. 50% of all human beings in the United States will get cancer. And the only way to cure it and get them 100% is give them huge
doses of
THC, and they're cured. Not me selling it, but 34 years ago, it was the University of Virginia in Charlottesville or Richmond. And then it's all around the world.
So,
what is your name again? If he got cancer right now, you got
knock on wood.
Yeah. Okay, now you know what you know. As far as I can see right now, the only thing against cancer is THC in huge
doses.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this company in New Zealand that is going to start producing fuel from hemp?
No, explain it.
Well, this guy, his name is Sean, and I've been talking to him and his one of his directors, David, out of New Zealand. I plan on interviewing them for my show too about their plan to go into business this year on industrial hemp. So these guys down in New Zealand, they just had some yield studies done.
Yeah.
Out of Germany to see what the yields were going to be expected. And they ended up being much higher than was previously expected. So it looks like the fuel challenge is going to be even stronger now with this new German data and this company in New Zealand. And they hope to be actually manufacturing fuel from hemp biomass this year. Both, they're planning on to be making both ethanol and diesel from hemp.
Now, they are making ethanol or methanol? And you know what the difference is?
I think, you know what?
If you don't, you don't have to say it. I will tell you.
Go ahead and say it.
Methanol E-T... methanol with an E.
Right.
And methanol
with an M.
M. This is 100% the same as
drinking alcohol. A fungus or a yeast converts the sugars into alcohols, and then you have ethanol. So what about methanol?
Methanol is from the wood and the leaves, not the fruit.
Okay. So you're saying that he's going to be making methanol from hemp, not ethanol, if he's using the stalks of the plant and the roots?
One way. If you go with as far as I know,
I think there's a process where they can add something to it, where the there's an additive where the it converts it, and then the yeast will actually eat it and then convert it into sugars for alcohol.
Yeah, but this is good for oil.
Yeah.
This is good for oil. This is good for...
Methanol is good for oil, or ethanol is good for oil. Methanol is good for what?
Yeah, well, you can do it for... you can do it for methanol, ethanol, because... But it'll never get... this is at least 50 times more than methanol with an M.
Right.
Now, there is a way to redirect methanol with an
M.
M to this, but I don't. I don't understand it completely. I knew it can go it, but you can do it on this thing in 2 minutes. And
yeah. Well,
you know, if I, you know, if I, you understand, 8 and a half years ago, I have my brain is completely finished. Like, you can see.
Take another one. Hold on a sec. Get you behind that flag there. In front of that flag.
Like, you can see. I would like to go and get you and I
publish that book
right now.
Well, if I had a copy of that manuscript, I'd go through and help you.
Well,
if you can find a copy.
Oh, I can find a copy.
It's exactly an hour. We're finished, right?
Okay.
I'm here with Rick Simpson, who is the producer of the video Run From the Cure. And Rick has made a wonderful discovery that we think is very important for the listeners to hear all about. And Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, John. Well, first off, really, I'm not the producer. I'm definitely behind this documentary, but Christian Lorette, the young man from Amherst, actually produced it.
Okay.
But he did a good job.
Well, thank you for the clarification.
Yeah.
Would you like to give the audience a little background about who Rick Simpson is and what you do?
Well, I spent my life right here in Nova Scotia, Canada, out on the East Coast. I worked, as an engineer during my working career, but then I was injured at work, and I went through the medical system. I wound up with a head injury, and I went through the medical system, and they basically tried every pill known to man on me, and all it did was make me worse. And after about 4 years, almost 5 years of this, the medical system finally gave up on me. And I just, after my injury, I stumbled across a show here in Canada called The Nature of Things. And it was really a show about different people with different medical conditions and how they were using marijuana to help their condition. So, I watched this, and I have what they call post-concussion syndrome. So I went out and I bought some marijuana and tried it, and well, sure enough, it worked better than any medicine the medical system was giving me. But the doctors and everything, they knew the only thing that helped me was basically the hemp. I prefer to call it hemp. But yet they would not give me a prescription. So after about almost five years, they just gave up. There was nothing they could do or give me that would help. We do have this thing here in Canada called the Marijuana Access Program, which is really just a sick joke on the public. There's about 2,000 registered medicinal users, in the whole country, that the government, you have to get their license and all of this nonsense, and you jump through so many hoops, and finally they may grant you a license. But you have to get, it through your physician. And I went to dozens of doctors, and I could never get a prescription for it. And they wouldn't give me the access to the license. So after about 5 years, they just cut me free. They said there was nothing more they could do. They tried everything, and basically they wrote me off. But about a year before that, I had been in my physician's office, and of course we always had these little arguments about the medicine. And I always wanted a prescription for it, and. But he would always say, well, it's bad for the lungs, or it's still under study, and all of this nonsense, which is what most doctors give people when you mention hemp. But, so in the end, they gave me no medicine, they gave me nothing. The only thing I could do was really to continue on, hoping hemp would help me. But in my doctor's office, we had argued there one day. He said, again, bad for the lungs. And so I just looked at him, and I said, look, if I took the hemp plant and produced the essential oil from that plant and ate it as a medication, as opposed to smoking it, I asked him what he thought of that. And he said, well, that would be a much more medicinal way to use the substance. But again, it wouldn't give me a prescription. So, immediately, they all knew that this was the only place I had to turn for medication. So it made me basically a criminal in my own country. I'd worked for 32 years. I'd spent most of my working career working for the Nova Scotia government in the hospital system. But yet, so here I am with this condition through no fault of my own, and yet for me to get the medication, the only way I could do it was to break the law. And I was left no choice. So after they cut me off the pharmaceuticals, I went right into eating this oil. And after a few months, it brought me back because the pharmaceuticals had left me in a chemical daze. Is the best way I can word it. I couldn't concentrate on anything. I would read a sentence, and before I got to the end of the sentence, I couldn't remember what I was reading about. It was just awful. But after a few months on the oil, my mind came back and became sharper and sharper. And years ago. I had these things in my face. I had two on my face, one by my eye and one on my cheek and one on my chest, and these areas of skin cancer. And these things had developed over years and years. And a lot of us get these, and we don't even tell our doctors about them. We just think, well, it'll just go away or something. And, of course, they tend to get worse, of course. So finally in 2002, I was in my doctor's office, and I pointed these areas out. And he looked at me and he said, well, it looks like skin cancer, so they scheduled me to go in. So I went in January 2003, and I had the one by my eye removed. When I was at home about a week later, I was looking at the area because they had rescheduled me to come back for the other two areas to have them taken off. So I was at home about a week later looking at this area, and it was all infected. And I mean, anybody that ever had an operation in the Amherst Hospital wound up with infection. It seems to be par for the course up there. But this thing I'd heard on the radio back like almost 30 years before, I was leaving work one day in the early 70s, and a report came across the radio. At that time, it was just the AM station here in Amherst, but the report stated that the active ingredient in marijuana, THC, had been found to kill cancer cells. But the problem was, at the time when I heard the report, well, the gentleman that was announcing it was laughing like a fool. So I thought it was some kind of a joke. I wasn't sure, you know. But here, 30 years later, I'm sitting there, and I've got skin cancer, of course, and that come back into my head. THC, the active ingredient, and come to find out, actually, that study was from the Medical School of Virginia in the early 1970s, and that was their exact findings. So since I had the oil right here, because I was using it to medicate myself so I could sleep, and it controlled my blood pressure, and it's a wonderful painkiller. But I had the oil right here. So I just took a little bit of that oil, and I put it right on the skin, on the other two areas of skin cancer. Well, in 4 days, both areas had healed and were cured. And then within about seven to 8 weeks from the time they took it off by my eye, it grew right back. You know, here's the cancer again. So I just took the oil and put it on that. 4 days later, it's cured. And then I went to my doctor's office because I was pretty excited about this. I thought, my God, I didn't think about all these other things it would do. I just thought, well, here's a cure for skin cancer. Surely the medical system's going to love this one. And I walked into my doctor's office. I asked them for the pathology report from my operation. They gave it to me. It stated basal cell carcinoma. So, I said, I read the report, and then I looked at the receptionist. And she happened to be the doctor's wife. And I said to her, I said, I'd like to come back and see the doctor in the evening some night soon and discuss something I've been working on. And she looked at me kind of funny, and she said, well, what's this about? And I said, well, it's about this cancer. I said, the one by my eye, I said, it came right back. And I said, the other two areas, I said, I cured them all using hemp oil. And when I said hemp oil, that woman, she just went rigid. She started with I'm standing in my doctor's waiting room with there's four or five other people there, and here's his receptionist behind the desk, and she goes ballistic. It's like, the doctor will not go there. The doctor will not prescribe this, and she's just screaming. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? Is this woman, was she gone insane? And I was just totally bewildered. So I go out and get in my vehicle, and it was the weirdest feeling on the way home because it felt very much like the Twilight Zone. I thought that they would welcome this, but instead they turned the other way. So, I came home and I continued to, I continued using oil myself. And then I started, my mother, she had weeping psoriasis on her leg. She'd had the problem for quite a long time. Put the oil on it, healed it up, no problem at all. And then other people with skin cancers and medical conditions, they came to me. And for the first year, almost year and a half, I guess, really what I did, I just provided the oil to people to treat, topical conditions like skin cancer, all kinds of skin cancers, psoriasis, athlete's foot, warts and moles, anything unhealthy. Put the oil on it, put a bandage on. And I told people, leave it on for about 3 days and then peel it off, and no time, these unhealthy warts, moles, anything like that would just disappear. So I guess it was the summer of 2004. By that time, I had contacted everyone in government. I started a campaign in 2003. I went to all the government officials, Minister of Health and everything. I went to all the political parties. I went to the Nature of Things, this TV show with David Suzuki, with all this information. I went to everyone I could think of. I mean, we went to the Canadian Cancer Society, even to the United Nations, and no one would pay a bit of attention to it. It's just like I didn't exist and what I was doing. But I seen what the oil did, so by the summer of 2004, I mean, I was totally bewildered with the system. I realized that they don't want a cure for anything. You know, it's medicine is really just a racket. So in the summer of 2004, I bumped into a gentleman cured of skin cancer. He had a nasty little melanoma that he'd had removed about five times, kept coming back on his face. So we healed that, and then he told me that he had glaucoma. And through the research and reading I've been doing, I knew that glaucoma, it's been recognized since the 1800s. One of the best treatment for glaucoma would be the hemp plant, or the oils from it, the medicine. And it lowers the ocular pressure. Just magnificent what it does. And him and I were talking, and he mentioned glaucoma, so I told him, I said, well, the only other thing you could do would be to do it like I do, eat the oil. And so he said he'd like to try it, because I showed him in the books and everything about it. And so I gave him some oil, and he mentioned the same day, he said something about arthritis. And I said, well, this gentleman was almost 70. And he told me, he said, I have to sleep with a pillow between my knees. He said, because my knees ache at night. And I knew from my experience with it, it's nothing better for arthritis than this oil. So I told him, I said, within a month, I said, that arthritis will just fade away. And so within a month, that's exactly what happened. He told me, he said, I stopped using the pillow, and his ocular pressure kept decreasing. So he was the first one, really, that I put on the oil, like told him, you know, well, why not eat it the same as I do? But after that, then I started treating people for everything then. And people were coming to me with terminal cancers. I've had people right at death's door. People that actually, one gentleman was in the hospital, was given 24 hours to live. And his son took the oil right at the hospital, asked the doctor to give it to his father. The doctor refused, of course. And so he went in and he gave his father the oil himself. And the next day, his father left the hospital. So this is the kind of power this stuff has. And the truth is what's going on here is the whole medical system, they're terrified of this stuff. Because it's literally a cure-all. I mean, I've used it on everything from schizophrenia to burns. You would not believe what this medicine can do. And it was used all through man's history. I mean, always known, man's oldest known, safest medication, always known to be totally non-addictive, and also known throughout history as the most medicinal plant on this earth. But yet, now here we are in this day and age, and we're not allowed to use it in medicine. Now, why not? And there's only one rational reason when you look at what's going on here. I mean, every pharmaceutical company in North America, back in 1800s, early 1900s, all produced hemp medicine. But you couldn't patent it. So the medical industry didn't like that much because they couldn't make any money with it. And they wanted it gone. So basically what happened, the big drug companies and other big money concerns, they, you know, went into their government buddies and said, well, look, let's make laws against this. So that's exactly what they done. All of our wonderful democratic governments that are working so diligently to help the people, they pass laws that take the most medicinal plant on earth out of medicine. Now, that's the insanity we live in. And these governments, they control the medical systems, the legal systems, the policing systems. The whole thing is a sham. And the truth is, no one on this earth has the right to tell any other human being that you cannot use that medicine or you have no right to this plant. That is all that was all put in place just so big money could make more profit. And I've been making the noise ever since. I run in two federal elections here in Canada. I found out that our media is totally corrupted and controlled. A lot of the venues I wasn't even invited to speak because they didn't want people hearing what I had to say. But I mean, I've established such a body of evidence. I've treated in the realm of about 1,500 people myself, and through the video when we put out the documentary a year ago. Well, if you go to our website, phoenixtears.ca, and click on Making the Medicine, there's a very detailed written recipe up there that anyone can go out. If you can get a pound of hemp and you have terminal cancer or basically any other medical condition, but for terminal cancer, I recommend that people get a pound of hemp, produce the oil from 1 pound of good female hemp bud. preferably, I always use indicas, the heavy indica strains. They work the best because it keeps the person laying down, and that's what you want for healing. 1 pound will generally produce right in around 60 grams of this high-grade oil. And the idea is to ingest this, you know, what you have to do is take this 60 grams. It's only, you're only talking about a little over 2 ounces of oil. It's just a small amount. You shouldn't really call it an oil. It's more like a thick grease. But the only way we can treat people with it is by having them ingest this amount of oil. The average person takes about 3 months, usually, to take the whole 10 tubes, although I've had many people take it quicker. And what it does, it floods the whole system with THC. And wherever the THC goes, well, when it comes in contact with cancer cells or arthritis or anything else, it basically seems to have the cure-all. It works for everything. And it's such a shame. I mean, I've confronted doctors and talked to different people about this. I said, look, for decades, they've been taking rats into laboratories, injecting them with cancer cells, giving them these nice big tumors, and then come along with THC and inject the tumor with THC and kill the tumor. Well, why don't they make the big leap and go to human beings? Now, this has been going on. I mean, that study I heard back in the 1970s, that's what it was. It was a study done in a bunch of rats. So here we are almost 40 years later, and they're still trying to tell us that there's no cure for cancer. Well, the truth is we're being lied to. Our governments are not representing us. And the whole system is a sham. And that's the state that we're in right now. And it's got to come to an end because we got people dying left and right. And you look at look at what they recommend, radiation, chemotherapy. Well, radiation causes cells to mutate, and that's what cancer is, mutating cells. I don't deny the fact that radiation can burn a tumor down, but the effects of the treatment itself basically guarantees you that you're going to wind up with cancer again. On top of that, it knocks your immune system right on its ass. And then the next big thing is chemotherapy. Excuse me. And I've always asked this question. I said, look, now tell me how much sense this makes. Now, you take someone with a serious illness like cancer, and the medical system's answer for a treatment is to give them enough poison to knock out their hair. And they got the nerve to call that a medical treatment. I mean, right in medical journals like Lancet, a different, very well-known, great renowned, these journals, and right in their own journals, it states chemotherapy is just a faster way to die. And in truth, most doctors will not use chemo themselves if they have cancer, because they know what it does. But they'll give it to us, won't they? So there's your medical system. And again, look at all of these supposed eye specialists out there. Glaucoma, leading cause of blindness in North America. You go to your eye specialist, he'll give you eye drops. And he'll sit there and he'll watch you lose your license. And he'll watch you go blind. But he won't tell you about hemp. Now, how dare they call this medicine? The whole thing is a sham. So I guess that pretty well draws the picture.
Indeed it does. Could you discuss a little bit more about the dosages and applications and things? You mentioned moles earlier. Let's say that someone has a mole that they want to get rid of. How much would they put on the mole? Would they change it every day? Would they put it on just once? You know, those sort of things.
Sure. Well, like for moles and that type of thing, anything unhealthy like that, I mean, if you've had a mole all your life and it's a healthy mole, you put the oil on it and nothing will happen. It will not react to it. But if you have a mole that's growing or has turned darker or is unhealthy, and you put that oil on it, usually what I tell people to do is just put the, or on skin cancer or whatever, just put the oil on and just apply a bandage. I usually tell people to try to leave it for about 3 days at a time. About every 3 days, keep changing the bandage. And for usually, like, unhealthy moles, like usually they're growing out from the skin. And no time, and they flatten right out, and usually it just turns into, like, a scab, and then just falls off. And skin cancers, usually even serious skin cancers, about the worst I've ever seen, usually about 3 weeks. Yeah, 3 weeks would be probably one of the longest ones I've ever used. Most of the time, a week to 2 weeks, and you can cure skin cancer. But the method I use for that is the same thing. Apply the bandage or the oil and apply the bandage. Change it every 3 days. And I tell people, I said, look, treat it until it's completely healed, until there's nothing but pink skin. then treat it for 2 more weeks, as if it was still there, just in case there's any residual cancer cells. I mean, I want them all dead. And I've treated hundreds of people with skin cancers, and to this day I have yet to ever have one person ever have a cancer come back. But if you got skin cancer and you go to the medical system, well, they'll slice and dice you for years and years and years, won't they?
They will, and make money each time you come back as well. It's not about, health maintenance organizations, or HMOs as they're called in the U.S., that says about enough right there. They're not health restoring, they're not curing organizations, they're health maintenance organizations.
That's right, and it's such a shame, you know, like I know I went through the legal system up here. I had 10 patients ready to testify. Some of them had been cured with terminal cancer. I had 6 doctors there. Of course, they weren't there willingly, but I had subpoenaed them. And, of course, the Supreme Court of Nova Scotia won't allow them on the stand. And, I mean, the truth is, what's going on here? I mean, it's like I said, the government controls it all. Half the lawyers in this country, I expect the same thing in the States, half the lawyers in Canada are making a living off these corrupt hemp charges. There shouldn't even be a law against this, and these lawyers are all filling their pockets. And they don't want these laws to change. The system is corrupted right from top to bottom, and the people have to wake up and take their freedom back and their rights. You know, it's so depressing when you see so many people dying and suffering for no reason. I mean, I've seen people I've got emails here from people. It's curing AIDS. It's I got an email here just recently from England. A lady, rheumatoid arthritis for 11 years. She went on the oil for 9 weeks. She's cured. I mean, why are people allowing themselves to be put through this? And no one is standing up and demanding the truth. And all you have to do is go to, well, I mean, you can go on the internet today, just punch in THC and cancer into Google or one of those big search engines. Thousands of research papers come up, all saying the same thing. THC killed cancer. Well, you know, but there's no cure, according to the system.
Right.
So thanks to the internet, at least the truth is coming out.
Well, with consuming this stuff, and I've seen it before, I've tasted it once, and it stuck to the roof of my mouth for about 2 hours. How would someone go about eating this hemp oil?
Well, if you had terminal cancer and you came to me, I would tell you, unless there was a lot of pain involved. A lot of people come to me, they're on morphine and things. In those situations, what we try to do is get the people off the morphine, get them onto the oil. Because the truth is, you know, properly made hemp oil from the right strains, the oil from these strains will kill pain that morphine won't even touch. I mean, I've seen this with bone cancer and all kinds of different things. So the power of this medicine, like I said, is beyond belief. Now, for taking it, well, I'm sorry, you were asking me about the doses there. Now, for the ordinary cancer patient that comes here, I tell them, start off with little tiny doses, something about half the size of a grain of dry rice. I mean, see, we put it in these little plastic syringes. It makes it easy to dispense it. And I tell them, I say, look, a half the size of a grain of dry rice, just a little tiny speck of this stuff, way less than a drop. Take it 4 times a day, like breakfast, dinner, supper, and about an hour before you go to bed. Then go 4 or 5 days and increase your dose, say to the size of a grain of rice, 4 times a day. Go another 4 or 5 days and increase your dose again. And what we find, see, we put the medicine in these tubes, they hold about 6 grams each. Now, the first tube, it usually takes the patient 3 to 4 weeks to get the first tube in them. Then the second tube, usually about 2 weeks. And after that, they can usually take a tube a week until they're cured. And we've had many people come here with cancers that had diabetes and things like that, or blood pressure problems. And the minute they got on the oil, well, they didn't need the blood pressure medication anymore. Usually diabetics, within a month to a month and a half of beginning the oil treatment, they'll find that they don't need their insulin anymore. And it's just amazing what this medicine can do. It truly is the tree of life. And I think it's, you know, if we could get this organized and grow the most medicinal strains in the world, in a controlled environment. We could produce medicine that would just boggle your mind. I mean, and the name of the game here is the way we, you know, where we could produce this medicine so cheaply, this medicine could be made available to everyone on a donation basis. You know, if you don't have the money, you still get the medicine. There's no reason that anyone should die because they don't have enough money in their wallet. It's the ultimate answer to so many questions, you know, that and problems facing this world. I know you're acquainted with Jack Hare, and I mean, Jack Hare's book, you know, The Emperor Wears No Clothes. Well, they tell us that we're in the middle of a big energy crisis and all of this nonsense. Well, hemp can solve it all. All we have to do is use it and get rid of
Very
these,
true.
You know, these laws.
You know, and so I've, many been, people, I've been teaching about industrial hemp since I was 18 years old, and just recently I even did an interview with John Loftus, the former U.S. Justice Department prosecutor under the Carter and Reagan administrations, and he tells me he's looking for an alternative fuel source that can solve America's energy needs, and I tell him, well, we already have it. And he says, what? And I tell him, well, we already have it. We've been offering a $100,000 challenge to prove this information wrong for 20 years or more. And he says, well, what is it? And I said, hemp. And he said, oh, well, I can't believe that. You know, and I said, well, you know, we've already got the studies to prove it. And I even told him a friend of mine who works for an oil company just recently tried to take the $100,000 challenge and lost.
I'm not surprised. Well, I mean, well, Jack's book, I mean, The Emperor Wears No Clothes is just fabulous. And I'm proud to call myself a friend of Jack. You know, I think he's one of the greatest human beings that ever lived. But there's, you know, I mean, there's a lot of great men out here in this fight right now. Like, I mean, Eddie Lepp, Gatewood Galbraith. I love the work Bob Malamede is doing. Robert Malamede, PhD out of Colorado. He's got some YouTube clips up there, and he's an expert on this medicine.
I know,
and
all of these
Bob's
people.
Doing fantastic work. And I love the work today that David Icke from England is doing. I mean, all you have to do is sit down and listen to one of his videos and listen to what he's saying. You know, we've certainly been a very misguided species. And it's time we all woke up, you know, and realize what being a human being really is. And we've all got to start caring about each other.
I'm not sure I buy David Icke's lizard people theory, but other than that, I think he's got some good work there.
Well, David's a strange man. You know, I don't know about the lizard people myself, but my God, the rest of everything he says makes sense. But, you know, he does base everything on, you know, a lot of research, and no one's taking him on. I mean, he's calling the Queen of England a lizard, and she's not taking him to court. So what's going on with that?
Well, who knows?
It does make you wonder.
Maybe they just, you know, it's sort of like free press here. A lot of people call George Bush an idiot. He doesn't take him to court to try and disprove it, you know.
Well, that would be a waste of time, I think, George.
Well, let me
Pardon
ask
my a, lack of respect.
Yeah, and mine too. Let me ask you this, if, you know, on a specific question, if somebody has pancreatic cancer, would they take your hemp oil, this half a grain of rice, and then work their way up, et cetera, the same as for any other cancer? Or do you find specific applications for different kinds of cancers and things? How does that work?
Well, see, the problem is the medical system, again, more lies. They've been telling, well, there's 100 different types of cancer, and they all need certain different type treatments, and it's just all to boggle the mind of the average human being. But the truth is, I mean, cancer is just one thing. It's mutating cells, and that's what this substance kills. It kills mutating cells while doing no harm to healthy cells. It makes no difference what type of cancer you have, where it is in your body. If you can get this oil in there in time, it'll save your life. I mean, I had a man with, he had terminal lung cancer, both lungs. I walked in, his breathing was down to 70%, and he's sitting there with a cigarette in his hand. And he looks at me and he said, I suppose you're going to tell me to stop this. And I said, no. I said, all that would do is give you more stress. I said, if you want to smoke, go ahead. And so I think at the time, I think that was the only reason he took the treatment. But he started the treatment, and he took the whole treatment in 90 days. 90 days later, he went in for his tests and his x-rays. Both lungs clear. His breathing was right back to 100%, and he smoked 2 packages of cigarettes every day during the treatment. It didn't make a bit of difference. So this cancer, I mean, like I said, any type of cancer, basically anything that goes wrong with the human body, if you use hemp medicine, you're going to get results, and you're going to get astounding results.
Amazing. So what piece of information would you like listeners of this show to go away with?
Well, when I tell people, you know, when it comes to this medicine, you know, I encourage people to grow their own hemp, make their own medicine, cut out all these drug dealers. Like we put out the information on the, you know, on the internet and in our video. If you put the what's on Phoenix Tears plus what we have in the video about making the medicine, basically anyone can make their own. It's really about as hard as making a cup of coffee once you do it a couple times. And so I tell people, you know, best to make your own or have someone you know produce it, someone you know and trust. Do not buy oil off the street because that basically is trash in most cases. You know, you need the oil from the highest grade possible. The stuff that the oil you see on the street, in most cases, is just garbage made from shake and leaves and that type of thing. So it doesn't have the quality. But the main thing, you know, I would tell people, it would be that there is hope and there is a cure. But we have to stand up and demand, you know, our rights as human beings to this medicine, and that'll bring an end to it all. You know, why do people continue to die for no reason, and why do people put so much faith in that white coat when it's not deserved? So I guess that's my message to the people.
And Rick, would you like to give out your website, and you might want to spell it out for them, and your video information and things like that?
Sure. Well, our website is phoenixtears.ca. Now, CA for Canada. It's PHOENIX and then tears, TEARS. And if you go on Phoenix Tears, you can click on YouTube and you can watch our documentary in, I think it's in 7 segments on YouTube, or you can just go to phoenixtearsmovie.com. And you can, if you have high speed internet, you can sit there and watch it or download it. There's no, just feel free to copy it, distribute it to anyone at all. I mean, our aim here is to, a doctor in the States, I've been contacted by a few good doctors, and one asked me one time, he said, what was your idea when you put that up on the internet? And I said, you know, the way I look at it, when every second person knows how to cure their own cancer, how's the system going to stand against it? And he laughed. He told me, he said, Rick, he said, what's going on here? He said, you've let the genie out of the bottle. And he said, they can't put it back in. So if I let the genie out of the bottle, I'm not sorry.
And I also wanted to mention that we're going to be featuring you as well as Jack Hare's work on the premiere launch of the Tragedy and Hope magazine. That's tragedyandhope.com that will be put out by Richard Andrew Grove and Mike Sires and Lisa Arbuchesky and a few other people. I will also be contributing to that magazine as well. And if you would like more information on that, you know, we'll get that to you as well, so that we'll feature you. If you want to contribute articles every month or whatever to the magazine, we'll make sure that your word gets out there. How's that?
Well, that sounds wonderful. And I would just like to alert people that, you know, and what we're trying to do here right now, we're trying to bring something together at Phoenix Tears to get all of the real activists like Jack Hare and the Bob Malamese and people like that, and get one big site that we can all appear on, and then people can go to where the real truth is.
We already have it.
You know, and here's the real people.
We already have it. Tragedy and Hope.
You already have it.
That's exactly the intention of this magazine, is to bring the best people with the best solutions together. And we'll be, you know, if you see a news article about you know, why is this banker suing the Fed for hiding billions of dollars? Well, You can also click on alternative information to understand how the entire sham of the world money system works, like through the money makers type scam. And when they talk about alternative energy and solutions, there'll be direct information there. It'll be a multimedia magazine, so it'll be online. There'll be articles to read, talks to listen to, videos to watch, that sort of thing.
That sounds wonderful. And I want to see an input to all of these organizations that pretend that they want to legalize hemp, and Normal being one of the worst. I mean, I look at Normal as it's controlled by a bunch of lawyers. And, I think it was 1994, as I understand it, Normal was basically taken over by the lawyers. And that outfit is a joke. I mean, they will not present anything to the public. They won't even look into the truth. They just want to continue along with this scam against the public. So I would alert people to organizations like that. Stay away from them. Don't support them. They're not real.
Yeah, I've heard some people say that about the Marijuana Policy Project as well.
Well, I mean, Normal proved it to me. I was contacted by Alan St. Pierre almost a year ago, and he said I was misrepresenting Manuel Guzman's research, which was a total lie. I mean, Guzman's research actually indicated that THC killed cancer, and that's all I said. And so I emailed him back and told him, and I said, look, I said, you people, you are Normal. You're there to legalize this. I said, go out, take a small amount of hemp, make the oil, put it on someone with skin cancer, and watch what happens, and report the results to the public. And then I get another nasty one back from St. Pierre again. It's, we are Normal, we know all about hemp, and I know nothing, of course, according to them. And the oil that I produce, he called it snake oil. I couldn't believe it. You know, here's man's oldest known and safest medication, and he's calling the essential oil of the hemp plant snake oil. Well, that told me right there what Normal was.
Well, you know, and I'd like to remind the listeners of those who are not aware, but originally when Jack Herer took the information of hemp to the National Normal Office, I believe in Washington, D.C., he was actually kicked out. And they denied Jack's information on industrial hemp and medical marijuana for more than a decade before finally recognizing it. So it's no surprise that they would do that to you when they did that to him as well. And, I learned about you through Jack Herer, who fully endorses your work. And so, again, it seems not to surprise me there that some of these other organizations are dragging their feet and not up with the information.
Well, it's just like you said, they're all at the money trough, aren't they? And they don't really give a damn about the average person.
A lot of them sure seem to be. I've met some who do seem to care, but there are certainly many out there who only care about the money. And, well, a human life is, and to many lawyers and bankers' opinions, is worth about $100,000, and you pay it off, and it's cheaper to pay off for the death than to deal with, other things. And that's exactly how the car manufacturers and everybody else work, too. If they make a bad product, we'll just pay $100,000 for the life, and we'll go on.
Well, I mean, the whole system we live under, it's all run by corruption and money. I mean, our economy basically is based on fossil fuels, which are fast running out. And we know by using these fossil fuels that we are poisoning the planet we live on, but that doesn't seem to matter. You know, as long as somebody can make a big profit, it's truly pathetic what's going on here. But, I mean, I want to see a day come when this planet's a decent place to raise our children and our grandchildren. And I want to see an end to all of this nonsense and these stupid wars. I mean, look what's going on over there in the Middle East. I mean, Iraq, Afghanistan, we have no business over there. They're over there, you know, killing babies, for God's sakes. I mean, you know, all in the name of democracy. And that's just a cloak. It's not about democracy. It's about the oil that these people possess. They're over there stealing their natural resources. And we have no right to do it, and we don't have to do it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, you know. And when you look at the history, one of the things I mentioned John Loftus earlier, one of the reasons why I had him on the show was his job when he worked for the U.S. government was to investigate the Bush family's ties to the creation of, or to the funding of the Nazis, and he also discussed openly how the U.S. government created Al-Qaeda, and in many ways, directly and indirectly, the Israeli government has created Hamas. And, you know, they use false information as an excuse to go in and then bomb these people. You know, first we create the terrorists, and then we have them terrorize, and then we have an excuse to go in and bomb these countries and take over their resources. And, you know, and the U.S. government played a large part in putting Saddam Hussein in power as well.
Well, when you look at what the U.S. government does, I mean, they pursue people for growing the hemp plant, but yet, I mean, who are the biggest drug dealers in the world? Wouldn't it be about something to do with the CIA, who actually you're supposed to be working for the government? What about those plane loads, all those plane loads of cocaine? You know, Iran-Contra, Oliver North. I mean, this has been going on forever. The biggest drug dealers in the world are the governments, for God's sakes. You know? But they're trying to tell us that we're the bad guys. I mean, somebody has to wake up here.
Yeah. Well, Rick, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate your time.
There's one other thing. I've got a clip up on YouTube right now about what I'm trying to do here. I wanted to do a Canada-wide tour this coming summer. I wanted to start in out in Vancouver Island and come right across Canada, do 26 cities right across the country. It's a big free hemp medicine seminars, and of course, we're looking for donations to make it happen. And I know you run on donations yourself, so if to anyone out there that has a couple extra bucks, by all means, send it our way or send it to the, you know, to this gentleman here, because he's doing good work too. I mean, we're all in this together, and the idea is to bring out the truth to the people. And the faster that happens, the faster we can start saving lives.
All right, Rick. Thank you so much, and I really appreciate your time today.
Happy to be here, and anytime you want me back, just give me a call.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, brother.
Would you give a donation to help put an end to the restrictions that are keeping hemp from being used in mainstream medicine? If so, then send us your donation, large or small, and together we can bring the real truth about hemp to the public. If we can raise the required funds, I will stage well-organized free hemp medicine seminars all across Canada. I would like to start in British Columbia in May 2009 and work my way east, doing seminars in as many major centers as possible. If everything goes smoothly, we will be in Ottawa next July 1st. Afterwards, we will continue putting on seminars all the way to the East Coast. A little over 100 years ago, half the medicine used worldwide came from the hemp plant. Based on this plant's legendary medicinal properties, why would its use in medicine be prohibited? What happened? Hemp was a threat to many big money interests, especially pharmaceutical companies. To deal with this situation, big money had the government outlaw hemp's medicinal use in 1923. For thousands of years, it had been a known fact that hemp is the most medicinal plant on earth. The harmless, non-addictive nature of hemp was well established, yet our government outlaws its medicinal use to please their rich friends. From 1923 to the present day, governments and big money have fed the public a pack of lies about hemp, with no evidence to back it up. Essentially, our country is controlled by people in three-piece suits that the public has little awareness of. It is more than obvious that these rich types care little about the health and welfare of the people who inhabit this planet. Profit is the only thing that motivates big money. They have outlawed the most harmless, effective natural medicine on earth and forced the public to take their patented, often addictive chemical pills and medications. If profit is all that such companies are really about, perhaps they should cease to exist. Now, what about the medical system, legal system, law enforcement, etc., that have been going along with this travesty? To anyone working in these fields, you have not been working for the greater good of the people. You have been protecting the interests of big money. I don't care how much the system is paying you. Is it really enough for you to ignore the harm that you are doing to the public? When your turn comes to dance with the Grim Reaper and you were diagnosed with cancer or a whole array of other diseases, would you not want properly made hemp medicine available to you? Do you not have friends and family members suffering and dying for no reason other than the lack of an effective medicine? We do not seek retribution, but we do demand change. This medicine must be made available to the public as quickly and cheaply as possible. From my experience and all the scientific evidence currently available, it can truly be said that hemp medicine is basically a cure-all. I have found hemp to be effective in the treatment of all cancers, diabetes, arthritis, multiple sclerosis, AIDS, chronic pain, burns, etc., etc. So there you have it, a safe, non-addicting medicine that works on practically all medical conditions. Now, what medicine do you want to put in your body? A very beneficial, harmless, natural medication, or often addictive and harmful chemicals produced in a pill factory somewhere? I think the rational choice is beyond obvious. Not only can the hemp plant provide this wonderful medicine, it also gives us an answer to many of the problems facing our world today. Hemp can supply us with food, fuel, textiles, paper, building materials, insulation, and the list goes on and on. Also, a resurgence in hemp's use would put many people back on the land, where they belong. Let's get farmers growing hemp again and create hemp-based industries that are friendly to Mother Earth and the people and animals that inhabit this planet. If anyone doubts what I am saying, I suggest they read Jack Hare's book, The Emperor Wears No Clothes. And believe me, it's no fairy tale. The human race is forever indebted to Jack Hare for bringing the public the real truth about the hemp plant the government and big money have been trying to hide. In 1999, Jack also made a documentary called Emperor of Hemp, which I consider by far to be the greatest documentary on this subject ever made. One cannot watch Jack's documentary or read his book and not realize that there is something profoundly wrong in our world that must be corrected. Jack and I are of the same spirit, but we are separated by a border. Jack cannot enter Canada, and I cannot go to the United States because we have been branded criminals for helping people and telling the truth. If the public are truly looking for criminals, look no further than the people who are running our societies. They are the ones denying the truth, and we are the ones who are suffering for it and paying with our lives. Many people I have come in contact with have expressed the fear that I could be killed because I am exposing the truth. I have to admit that this is a possibility, but what good would it do them to eliminate me with the truth already out there? Through our website and documentary, we have told the whole world about the power of hemp medicine. Hundreds of thousands worldwide are now producing their own medicine from hemp, so taking me out of the picture would do little good. Indeed, if something happened to me, hemp medicine would have its martyr. Who out there has not lost friends and loved ones that could have been saved if hemp medicine had been available? Everything I am telling the public about hemp medicine is the honest truth. Anyone that would say hemp medicine does not work, or that all of this is just about getting high, is an ignorant or corrupt misinformed fool that is quoting propaganda that has been fed to them by our system. Help us put an end to hemp's medical restriction, for no government has the right to tell their public that they cannot have access to this medication. Any laws that were ever put in place restricting hemp's use are based in corruption and must be swept away. We are on the verge of a new day in medicine, and indeed the hemp plant can provide the human race with a badly needed second chance. Rampant capitalism, ignorance, greed, and apathy have led mankind down the wrong path. Once and for all, the truth must be told if mankind is to have a future, and your donation will do much to bring this about. My name is Rick Simpson. Thank you very much.